Okay, we're going to start now, and we're going to have Rob Turner, our secretary, do the roll call.
Okay, we'll start off with President Marlene O'Neill.
I'm here.
Vice President Roger Peterson.
Here.
Well, okay. Rex Ransom, Treasurer.
Here.
Rob Turner, Secretary. Here. okay, then we move down to Linda Perrell, Corresponding Secretary, is here.
She's here.
Okay, good. We've got Sandra Fancher.
Here.
Jill O'Connell, absent. Lee Morton.
Here.
Here, okay, present. So only, we've got 6 out of 7.
Yep.
Good. Yes, we have a quorum.
Okay. Is there anybody? We called everybody? Okay. Should we do? Oh, go ahead.
It might be noted in the minutes that there are a whole bunch of other.
Called the roll. Only absent board member Jill O'Connell.
You have quite a good showing of this.
Yeah.
I can go through and read off their names if you would like.
Maybe people could just identify themselves. Well, that's okay. Yeah, just make it. Try to do it quickly. Linda, you wanna? Who's on? Who's?
I'm gonna write down in next to me is. In the other row,
Albert Contreras.
Hello, Albert.
Rex, do you see the Braille magazine?
Happy birthday, Debbie.
Thank you.
Oh shoot. Oh, this is it here, maybe.
Katrina McCurdy.
Yeah, I got it.
Gary
Who?
Martin.
Gary Wilson.
Linda Castle.
Alan Raven.
Here in my backpack.
Steve Ford is here.
Hi, Dolores.
Great. Okay. Oh, is anybody? Who?
Could you
speak to me?
Mike.
Okay. Okay. Now we will have the reading of the minutes by Rob Turner.
Okay, and just a quick note. I did not have a separate minutes for the board meeting, so I will go ahead and just, if it's okay, I'll read the membership meeting minutes. They're very similar, and next time I will separate the two out. So, BRLC membership meeting minutes, spring 2007, President O'Neill called the meeting to order at approximately 9 a.m. on Friday, April the 13th. There were more than 25 persons in attendance. The fall convention membership meeting minutes were approved with corrections. The president's name was changed from O'Neill-Cooney to O'Neill. The beginning balance was changed from $2,378.04 to $2,378.30. President O'Neill read the treasurer's report in Rex Ransom's absence. The beginning balance was $2,378.30. The ending balance was $2,814.65. The report was approved without corrections. Jill O'Connell encouraged the membership to make one final push to sell the remaining 55 neck wallets. The Braille Institute sponsors the Braille Challenge contest each year, but participants' travel expenses are not covered. The board recommended that BRLC supplement its $200 donation by $300. Roger Peterson moved to approve the $500 expenditure. In other words, the 200 plus the 300. Kathy Skivers seconded, and the motion passed. Doug Martin moved to accept Wynn Downing's offer for a workshop in the Nemeth Uniform Braille system for our fall convention. Rob Turner seconded, and the motion passed. Wynn Downing wants suggestions for articles to appear in the Braille Writer newsletter. Debbie Berry will interview Kathy Skivers for her Braille profile, and Mike Keithley will interview Rob Turner for his Braille profile. These profiles will appear in the fall edition. Jill O'Connell moved that President O'Neill be the BRLC delegate to the ACB National Convention. Rob Turner seconded it. Debbie Berry made a friendly amendment to the motion to provide the delegate with $400 to help with expenses. The motion passed. Kathy Skivers spoke about the late Norma Schechter. She was a Braille transcriber for over 50 years. She taught hundreds of transcribers and formed Braille production guilds throughout California and around the world. Norma is in the CCB Hall of Fame and will be sorely missed. Wynn Downing spoke about the NFB getting the contract for the Braille Transcription Certification Program. Jennifer Dunham from Minnesota will head up the project. Based on her comments and actions thus far, Wynn is optimistic that the program will be run fairly. Our meeting room was so crowded that Kathy Skivers suggested that the office be notified that we need a larger meeting space. There were nearly 50 people present by the end of the meeting. The business meeting adjourned at 9:55 a.m. Now, I could continue with the presentation, but this seems to be this seems like it would cover the board meeting minutes. Are there any? Yeah.
Okay. Did anybody second? Oh, pardon me.
Stop here.
I think so. Yes.
Okay.
We don't need to go on.
That's what I was thinking. We'll hear those tomorrow.
The motion was that we accept the minutes as read.
Second.
Well, I'd like to point out that, Madam Chair, that since these are not the board minutes, we can accept them. I would say that we can accept them for their informational value, but we can't really adopt them. I mean, it's the membership that needs to adopt them tomorrow, since they're minutes of the membership meeting and not of our meeting.
Yes, I see what
right.
you're saying. Now, the board meeting, the board minutes are, we have to take a meeting, we have a board meeting on Thursday nights, and that's why we have to take minutes for both. And they are very similar, but being that we can't
just receive these minutes for information value.
Yeah, we
don't think we can.
These aren't the board meeting, the minutes, these are the membership meeting minutes, so we can't really accept that. So we can read those tomorrow at the meeting, and then Rob could.
Right.
We can do the minutes for the next meeting or Thursday night meeting, at the next convention.
Right, and I will have separate meeting minutes, board meeting minutes next time.
Okay. Is that all right with everybody? Okay. The Treasurer's Report, Rex Ransom.
Okay, on the balance on April the 1st, 2007, was $2,814.65. We had additions to the BRLC Treasury, dues received $180. Dollars deposited for NEC wallets, $365. Total additions was $545. The expenses to the BRLC Treasury was Braille Institute donation, $500. Paid to Marlene O'Neill, ACB delegate, $400. Paid Lynn Laird, Braille writer, printer, printing and mailing, $450. Total expenses was $1,350. Balance on October the 12th, 2007, is $2,009.65. I do have a note that I'd like to read to you concerning Lynn Laird's bill. It totaled $700. She was so kind that she made a donation of $250 to BRLC. When I sent her this check, I sent her a thank you letter including a check of $450, which I had mentioned before. And I submitted by Rex Ransom from the highest hill in El Segundo. Thank you.
Okay, do I hear a motion?
So moved to approve the Treasurer's Report found for compilation.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Carried. Okay. Braille Challenge for the Braille Institute. Is anybody here to talk about that?
I will talk about it.
Okay, Lynn, or when?
As you saw in the Braille Raider for August, because I sent out in August, we didn't have many details because they had, the thing was over in June, but they were still getting together the articles that come out, that had come out, and the various reports that people made and so forth. And I promised you that we would get more material, and Rex did receive a good amount of material. And I'll take out of that some appreciative comments about the different people who, you know, who won prizes and that sort of thing. So we'll know more about it then. And there's going to be a sharing in the Braille Challenge this year as one of the local places that helped to get people who will go down to Los Angeles. Well, the Lighthouse in San Francisco is going to have it, which is the first time.
Oh.
And if there's anything else you want to ask me, Dan Fraser, who was a person that I dealt with, was very appreciative of our gift and said that, and there is a letter that I will, I will include from the students who got our gift. I'll include that letter also in the Braille Challenge in the spring.
Okay. Thank you, Wynn. Linda, you told me about the Braille Challenge in San Francisco, a lighthouse. Would you like to add anything, like the date or when it's going to happen?
Absolutely. I have a goodly number of details about it. The date is February 9th. It's from 8:45 a.m. to 3:45 p.m. at the lighthouse at 214 Van Ness Avenue in San Francisco. I have been asked by Dee Hewen, who's the coordinator of youth activities at the Lighthouse, who's sort of spearheading this effort for the Lighthouse to coordinate and organize scorers for the Grail Challenge. They're going to have 5 and perhaps 6 testing groups based on age and ability of children. And they want 1 to 3 people to help score the kids' tests and another person to monitor the kids while they're going through those efforts. So if anybody has any interest in being part of that and devoting a day to the Grail Challenge, it's going to be a lot of fun. And you should get in touch with me about that.
I just got in touch with you.
Yeah.
No, I already put you up.
We were at the Vista Center. We had a Vista Center.
Yes, exactly. I was
going to
see if you guys wanted to come up too, maybe.
Well, Linda, I'll talk to you later. I'll talk to you later about it because you've gotten in touch with me too. So, I told you I would do it too. So, that's going to be from 8:45 to 2:45. You said
3:45.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sure.
That also involves one training meeting in May. January. And to sort of go over some of the details of how to do it.
Usually they have programs for the parents and stuff, too.
Yes, we will have those.
Also, I remember Stuart Wittgenstein spoke at ours.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, if there's going to be a training. That'll be great.
Lunch isn't free lunch for everybody.
Great.
Do you know what the date is in January?
No, we don't know that yet.
Okay. And this is going to be a joint effort now where they're going to combine it with the Braille Institute? Or are they going to make it separate?
No. The issue is that this is a qualifying round.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
This one get to go.
And in Northern California, it's a 3-year cycle. This does it 1 year, the Lighthouse does it 1 year, and
I see. That was never explained to me.
I think that's a new deal they all kind of all worked out.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you see, learn something new every day. Okay, thank you very much, Linda and Wynn.
We do it at Stanford.
Well, bully for you.
Did you get that, Roger?
Yeah.
Okay, Wynn, now that I've got you revved, could you talk about the newsletter?
If Rex can tell you, it's getting quite expensive. I wonder if you want it to be left this length or if you would like to have me shorten it. I hate to have all our dues spent for the Braille Writer. On the other hand, for the people who can't come to conventions, it's the only way they have of knowing what goes on in the Braille Library. So it's up to you what you want me to do about it. If you want to have greater limitation in pages, I can do that.
I'd be the same.
Well, yeah. You know what? We may make a suggestion. Maybe at tomorrow's meeting, maybe we can do a hand count of how many people would do email. Because I would do it, even though I'm a Braille reader. I would do email just to cut down on the expenses.
Mm-hmm.
I would prefer email in a way because
my lifestyle is such that I need my computer to keep track of things.
Yeah, and then you can keep it and it doesn't get thrown away and right. and that's what happened to me the last time. So
although I recognize that there were a few little problems with email in that, for example, there was a section I remember that compared 2 forms of Braille. I think you put a passage in UBS and wrote it.
I did. And she had no way to show you that.
Of course, you couldn't do that in email, but the regular one looked just like regular print.
Yeah.
And
the UBS
one looked funny because it was in
email. She called about that. She had no way to do it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What they do for print for sighted people, they do the symbol, the dots on the screen.
Right.
Yeah. That won't do us any good, so.
Well, that's worth thinking about. Though I still...
I would do it in Braille myself, or email myself. I think a lot of.
If you wanted that, I could prepare a separate page if you could make a copy of one page. Of course, then you still have the mailing force of an envelope and of the page, but you could do that if you wanted to.
Ideally, it would be possible to prepare the Braille thing as part of the email. I don't know. Let's think about it.
Well, Winifred, when you type all this up on your computer, couldn't you just put an attachment?
I send her a Braille page with the notes on it, because she doesn't know it either, and she just copies what I have on the page. And she copies it
for the Braille.
She copies it just as it is. And she, the way you can put a command in DuckBerry, don't change it. She uses ASCII characters and copies just as it is.
So you don't type this up on a computer or anything. You just Braille it only.
Yes, I do. I send her the ASCII characters, but I also send her a page of Braille.
Are you sending her a BRF file?
She wants to see if it looks right. So that's what I send her. But she doesn't have any way of the way she does is take the ASCII characters and that I do, and sometimes she checks them over and see if they're right. And then she puts that on her printer, and then that writes out Braille.
So you're sending her a BRF file, then?
That's right.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if we can decide anything tonight, but we could, find out.
It's a good idea, though, to take the count tomorrow, and if
yes.
you want an email, and send that, keep that on record from now on.
There's a fair number of people that have Braille note-takers that can download and develop note-takers to read and to continue reading as well.
Right.
Would that reduce the cost if we have it in print? I mean, if all of us did it? The amount.
Every issue that we don't publish in Braille saves some money.
Okay.
How much, I don't know.
Okay.
Well, and unfortunately, there are going to be, some individuals who are going to have to receive the hard copy. So I don't see us being able to eliminate the hard copy completely.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a question of how much would we save, instead of printing 20 copies, if you printed 5 copies, for instance.
I also wanted to bring, I don't know when to bring this up, but in the Braille copy, my email, it reads 7610 instead of Cinnamon 8610. It happened last time, too.
Yeah, I didn't know that happened last time, so I didn't correct it, but I certainly won't correct it this time.
I think we should have the president explain to us why her email is Cinnamon.
It's after my cat.
The problem with
8610. It's 86. Oh, it's because my first apartment, and I got it in,
The thing is, since we are in the Braille Revival League, in a way it seems bad not to have it.
Shut up.
Yes.
Nutmeg.
But there is a problem, of course, when I stopped being on the BOP committee, on the BOP for the National, I got the Braille form changed to online for me to save them money, too, but it is kind of sad.
Yeah,
because we're all Braille readers, obviously, so... Okay, we'll have to,
We decided that our president should be nutmeg.
We're going to change it to nutmeg. But we're not really. okay. Roger, shut up.
Uh-oh.
Please. I need to, the next one is fundraising. And it's concerning Rex and I, because we can spend money, but we got to get more money coming in.
May I say something about the next one?
Yes.
Jill had 13 left to sell, and she sold them. And I believe she submitted that money to Rex. And there's someone named Dolores Edmond, is that it?
She's here.
Who has, the 12, the fee for 12, that would be $60 for Rex. She said she can't find him, but if he finds her, she'll give
him. He's right. I got the
$60. You have it. So that is, as far as we know, the end of the
nickel. No, Ann Kaiser gave me a check for $25.
Okay.
There you go.
Good. I thought she had given it a long time ago.
And I have 3 more in my possession if anybody wants them.
But she already paid for them.
Just paid for them.
So I did.
Oh.
Yes.
But if, but anyway, that's we're through with that fundraiser, and it was a fairly successful one. But I truly believe the reason it was successful is that individuals took it upon themselves to sell netballs between meetings. We didn't have to accomplish it here just with a meeting, a booth, you know, table. We carried it on through the year. So
it was a good product.
It was. Really worked out very
Someday
well.
Someday I'm going to remember to bring mine with me to the convention.
We need to, for the next convention, we need to probably think of another fundraiser, because, you know, we're spending money, which is good, but...
Could I suggest one item that I've heard about and see what you think about it?
Please do.
Sandy Fancher has the cutest T-shirt on the other day at our fundraiser, and my daughter thought it was a darling, and it was a wonderful sentiment.
Is it Conserve Energy, Read in the Dark?
Ah.
And braille across
braille
the top.
Shirt, you know?
Yeah.
And it was pretty.
A Kelly green shirt with bright yellow lettering. Yeah.
Just really cute. And then
really.
There's another one in blue with white that is for the braille of it.
Yeah.
Instead of
the helmet. Uh-huh, so this one, yeah.
And I did some inquiring, and I found out from Rhonda that some time ago the Sacramento, the Capital chapter, ran a contest for slogans. And they got these slogans, and they got the T-shirts made, and they thought that when we went to Las Vegas, they were going to just sell tons of them. So they bought tons of them, and they're still selling them. But I still think that's a great T-shirt, and I don't know.
Is that
not
something?
A very good advertisement to say that they haven't been able to sell them yet. But as I said, I think the reason that we got along so well is that we sold them between times. Now, how you would settle that with T-shirts, I don't know.
T-shirts are crazy.
T-shirts are harder to sell.
But there might be a few people who would be interested in doing it.
I still live by Utah friends about a T-shirt that I bought from them years ago that had raised print on it. It said, accused them of selling risque T-shirts. Uh-huh. It said, seeing is believing, feeling is the naked truth.
Ah!
Utah,
normally. Yeah, I was thinking about what we could sell it, you know, and I usually do my best thinking at night. And yeah. And I haven't really come up with something, but I know I thought maybe travel mugs, but then today I guess the guide dogs thought of that. But I was thinking of travel mugs or
I think I read about some new braille candy
recently. Braille candy.
But again, that's
but also, if it's like the braille chocolate that has been sold for some time, I've had people send me a candy bar of that stuff for my birthday and stuff. It's cute, but it's very crummy chocolate.
Yeah, I was thinking of like travel mugs, but then they're selling those, so I have no idea, you know. And I was thinking about it, and so
the tote bag.
See, I wanted one, and Steve gave me an old one that he had. I'm like, gee, could we possibly get more tote bags?
Oh, it took us years to go through, didn't it, Sam?
Yeah, it did.
It took us to get rid of those.
Finally.
But people want people, you know, here at the convention, people want them for like when they have to buy things at the booths. There's no way of carrying them. I think the bags would be a great idea.
The other thing, like,
mm-hmm.
banning plastic groceries.
That's right.
I have one here that with my veil stuff in it, that may not last an evening.
Yeah, I mean, I really think we should give it some thought, because now I know in where I live, they're not letting us. In fact, they're calling they are making it not legal to have a plastic anymore. So you got to carry your.
That's San Francisco for you.
Yeah.
Hey. I wish you didn't have that about Conserve Energy, Read in the Dark on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good, you know.
Yeah, it is,
you know,
good.
So I don't know how what we're going to do, how we're going to...
Where did we get them printed? Where did you get those shirts last time? Was it the New Mexico School?
The tote bags, School for the Blind in New Mexico.
Alamogordo.
I think both kinds that we had, the smaller one and the larger one, were made at the School for the Blind in Mexico.
Those are the shelter groups.
I think if we could, if we had a larger one. But I know people have been asking me, and I even have a couple of relatives back east who saw mine and they wanted one, and who weren't even blind. So,
yeah.
And they do wear out. I unfortunately had to throw one away, so I'm ready to buy a few more.
So, could maybe Wynn and Sandra look into it?
Okay.
Oh, sure.
And
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
they have to be big enough
for Braille books.
Big enough, yeah, for your...
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Silicon Valley Council of Guards would be happy to sell you a cookbook.
Oh, you have them.
Oh, you've got them here?
We don't have them here, but we have order for them.
Oh, great. Where? Okay, hold on. I just got all excited. I'm out of order. I'm out of order. I'm sorry. Sorry.
You're the president. I guess you can be.
I'm sorry. Roger was out of order, too, but I had to let him know. People know that because he thinks he can run everything, and then he's not perfect. Okay. So I can do that. Okay. See, I'm not nervous anymore.
No, you're not.
Because Roger helped me through the last one, so. Okay. Okay. I want to talk about the program for next, I was going to say next spring. And is anybody here can speak on that? Or do we have any suggestions for a program for next spring? Well, I was wondering, I'm talking in my tape recorder and I'm using the mic. That's really great. No one can hear me. Oh, jeez. I was thinking about the Braille Plus. I've never seen it before, and I don't know if anybody else is familiar with it. If that would be...
Yes.
That's a good presentation.
And I was wondering if that could be a program... presentation for April.
I
think it's a good idea.
But it does not have a Braille display on it.
It doesn't have... It's like a note taker. It is. But it doesn't have a Braille... There's no Braille display and no keyboard.
Then why is it Braille?
Well, there is a Braille keyboard.
Oh, there is. Oh,
yes.
Sorry.
In fact, that's what distinguishes it from the Icon.
Oh, I see.
It has the extra Braille keys.
The version of the Icon, it's sold by APH. So it's available in
Porto. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've been looking for something like that. So I was wondering if
it has a lot of possibilities.
If I can get some information from Rob and Roger, I could get in touch with them and see if they'll do a presentation for our April meeting.
That's a good idea.
Do you have the dates for that yet?
April 9th.
I thought it was 9th through the 12th. Is that in Sacramento this year, next year, or the spring?
Same place.
Yeah, Arden West. That's correct.
Okay.
So Rex will be here again.
Right? I won't be there again.
Right.
Then you can give it to me and I'll read the report, Rex.
Even if it's May, you won't be there?
No, in May I would be there, but it's in April.
Oh, before April 15th.
No. We're talking about the convention when, and it's going to be April 9th to the 12th. Go to sleep. Okay. Okay. I saved the... Oh, is there anything else before I have one more?
I want to say the books that you're going to get tomorrow were provided for us without any expense whatsoever by the National Braille Association. You will see that they have quite a few pages in them. They're transcribed on one side of the page only because for some reason Florida does all their Braille that way. I can't imagine why.
Oh, really?
Who provided the Braille win? I'm sorry.
The National Braille.
NBA?
Oh, okay, great.
And a woman named Joyce Paul, she does all the transcribing. She's made the books really nice. They have the thing on the front that says California, Braille Bible in California, Brian, and the date.
Okay.
And she really went to a lot of stuff.
And her name was Joyce what?
Joyce Hall. And so I have her address, and I would like her, and I moved to have our correspondent secretary write to her after the meeting and, you know, tell her what went on and thank her.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor to have our corresponding secretary, Linda, write a thank you letter to Joyce Hall for the wonderful Braille books that she has pre-produced for us. So anybody want to make a motion? Or who made the motion? Lynn?
I'll make
the motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, Lynn, I was going to say first it. Oh, God.
Okay, so
I had too much coffee.
Wynn moved and...
Wynn made the motion and Lee seconded it.
Right.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions.
I have to have a thank you to Rex. Joyce sent him the cards because I couldn't have them sent to the hotel. I wouldn't be sure enough that I'd get them. So he has padded all these cards down here. And we'll pad them all to the room on Friday, and I think we'll rest a special applause.
Yay!
Bring him down that highest hill.
Okay.
Our constitution or our board of directors voted several years ago that we had to let everybody know, and anybody that we asked for to by mail, we had to have something there that told them in Braille what we were asking for. So the way we solved it last year was we wrote on one sentence on an envelope that said, VRLC dues $20 envelope enclosed, or something like that.
Oh, perfect.
So I did the envelope last year, and inside it we had an envelope addressed to Rex, and that's how we cared for it last year. This year, Sandy did all of the 30 envelopes on the Braille and all those 30 envelopes, so I wanted to thank her.
Yeah.
So
thank you, Sandy.
You're welcome.
Right,
I now have possession of them.
Well, thank you, Ben. I know, Rex is going to have a purple heart on his chest. Okay. He's done it. He does a wonderful job. Every time there's an email and it's from him, I know he's done something great.
So we need to determine who our delegate is alternate.
Yeah, I'm going to start.
That is an issue. Yeah,
yeah, I'm going
to. Go to credentials.
I'm going to just talk about that too.
Sure.
I'm the credentials chair.
Okay, that's okay.
So we do have a little conflict here since Roger can't really do two things at once.
Because he's the chair?
No, because you're the delegate for SVCB.
Okay, so he can't do it.
So Marlene?
I said I would be the delegate for BRLC.
Okay.
So we need an alternate.
I'll be the alternate. Who's that?
Who?
Keith Jones.
No, you can't.
You can't do it. You're not on the board.
Well, no, you're already...
Oh, you don't have to be on that board.
He's the delegate.
Are you a delegate for another chapter?
Keith is the delegate for the Glendale Burbank chapter.
Okay, so you can't do it, Keith, because you can't be more than one. Who would like to be the alternate delegate?
I'm an alternate for San Francisco.
Okay.
I don't mind doing it. If you don't have anyone to do it, I'll do it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So Wynn is going to be the alternate delegate for BRLC.
But Marlene, do you intend to leave early Sunday morning? Because I'm going to leave. I think I can stay till noon, but I'm not positive.
I'm leaving at 10.
Okay, well, you will need an alternate then. Okay,
Okay.
Good.
Great. Now, last but certainly not least, I want to turn the meeting over to Roger because we got to discuss the Constitution.
Thank you very much. So, looking at the Constitution, we have done some work on it, but we really haven't finalized anything. I want to thank Wynn for her comments, and they're excellent, and we need to look at them, but we haven't yet. The only thing that's really critical, I think, at this point, the Constitution says that we elect some officers in the spring and some in the fall of even-numbered years. But it does say that we elect a nominating committee at the fall convention in the odd-numbered year. And That has been a kind of a non-starter for some time now. I was telling Sandy that I think the last time the nominating committee worked well the way it says in the Constitution was when I dragooned her into being on the board several years ago. It seems to turn out that we don't get together and that we just don't manage to do that. And I guess my inclination is, though it might be somewhat questionable, is to ask for unanimous consent tomorrow to just not do it and have either not have a nominating committee or do a more normal kind of nominating committee. The problem, it says that we have to elect them, and only two can be from the board, and three have to be from the other. And part of the board elects part of them, the membership elects part of them, and it's just very unwieldy for an organization of this size. So
could they be appointed by the president? Would that be?
My inclination would be that the nominee, that we ought to resolve to change the Constitution so that the nominating committee will be a three-person nominating committee appointed by the president, and that for now on, for this time, we just go ahead and do that in anticipation of changing the Constitution. But I realize that's not quite according to Hoyle or Robert or whoever. What do you all think about that?
I think it's the way to do it.
I do too. Just to do it as a...
So it should be, I think we should fix it so that it's a three-member committee appointed by the president, that neither the president nor the vice president can be a member, and that's basically it. That's what I think. I think we have a lot of legacy from Julie Easterly in this Constitution, who loved writing complicated constitutions. We loved her dearly too, by the way.
All right, so
here you go, Marnie.
So do we want to do? So
we have to do it tomorrow.
Yeah. So
can we even say something like the board recommends to the membership that this change be made, or is it there?
Sure. Yeah, we can say that. We could say the board recommends that we do this change. Okay. And
I think it should be done by unanimous consent.
Yeah.
Well, I can make a motion. I can move that the board recommend that the Constitution be changed such that the president appoints three members to the committee and that neither the president or vice president is eligible to be on the committee.
Winifred
seconded?
Yeah, I did.
Linda seconded.
Oh, Linda seconded it? Oh, okay, and Rob made the motion. Okay, so all in favor of this motion? Say aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, carried. Is there anything else that we need to... there's no elections in the fall, right? No.
I think we need the nominating committee this time.
There are certain persons who are supposed to be elected in the fall and some in the spring, but I don't think there's any.
Okay. Anything else before we adjourn? Okay, do we have to make a motion that the meeting be adjourned? Someone want to make a motion?
I move that the meeting be adjourned. Business meeting or
okay.
To be adjourned.
Did somebody second?
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Lee seconded. Okay, meeting adjourned.